ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो till the 29th verse of the 20th chapter. Conversation between Maitreya and Vidura. 30th verse, na? Anyonya shlesha yotunga nirantarapayodaram sunasam sudvijam snigda hasa lilavalokanam. So here Maitreya Rishi is describing about the creation of Lord Brahma. So we saw how Lord Brahma is creating different kinds of living entities. Lord Brahma created the demons, daityas, from his buttocks. And they were so much lusty for women, and they started chasing Lord Brahma himself. They started coming after Lord Brahma in order to have sex with Lord Brahma. So initially Lord Brahma took it as a, maybe they are trying to do, instantly he thought as a humor on their part. So initially he just laughed at them. But then, he saw that they were actually pursuing him seriously, and then he could actually, he was bewildered as to what to do. Then he became afraid, and then he took shelter of the Supreme Lord, and glorified the Lord, and then he took shelter of the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord said that you cast off the impure body by which you created these demons, and then you continue the creation. So that then Lord Brahma, Sridhar Swami explains that Lord Brahma cast off his subtle body and not the gross body. It's not that when the Supreme Lord told Lord Brahma to give up his body, Lord Brahma did not give up his gross body. He cast off his subtle body. That means he cast off the sinful mentality by which he created those demons. So, giving up the gross body means committing suicide. But giving up the subtle body, so that is, by giving up the subtle body, we make spiritual progress. Spiritual advancement is nothing but, at the time of liberation, a person actually gives up the gross body and especially the subtle body. A person only gives up the gross body but does not give up the subtle body, which has so many sinful impressions, then a person continues to undergo the cycle of birth and death. So Lord Brahma gave up his subtle body, that means the sinful mentality by which he those demons were created, and then he went on. So that subtle body which was cast off by Lord Brahma, that took the form of an evening twilight. So now these verses describe that these demons who were created from the buttocks of Lord Brahma, they mistook that evening twilight to be a beautiful woman. And they are running after that evening twilight, thinking of, with the intention to have sex with that woman, thinking that woman is actually, who is actually the evening twilight. Actually, they are seeing an illusory form of a woman, but they are going after her. So in these verses describe that how the demons were describing the particular each and every part of that lady. Guhantim vridayatmanam neela lakavarutinim upalabhyasura dharma sarve sammamuhustriyam. So here we see that actually, especially it is said for the male, the weak point is the eyes, and for the female, their weak point is the sound. They get attracted to somebody who sings nicely, and they get attracted to somebody who speaks eloquently. As one devotee was mentioning that brahmacharis in general itself, they are in the sense they have to be careful, because you know, women by nature, they always look for shelter and this one. And they want to get married to good devotees, they may look towards the brahmacharis. So even among brahmacharis, those who are preachers, they have to be more careful. And even among the preachers, those who are congregation preachers, they have to be even more careful. And those who are singers are even more they have to be even more careful. And those who are singers plus congregation preachers, they have to be most careful. So the point is that, biologically speaking, based on the bodily constitution, the psychological this thing, the weak point of women is they get attracted to music, who speaks nicely, who sings nicely. And the weak point of man is that they want to see a beautiful form. As it is said that male eyes have abnormal hunger for beauty biologically. So that is why when a person enters the Brahmacharya ashram, not only we have to give our life for Krishna, we have to give our eyes also for Krishna. Means we should not unnecessarily, we may have to do our services, etc. Even some yogis might come and you may have to look at the yogis and do the services that is there. But the point is that whatever is the needful. So we have to, that means we have to focus our eyes on taking darshan of Krishna, taking darshan of the deity forms of the Lord. So one has to develop a regular practice of absorbing oneself in taking darshan of the Lord. Then the craving of the eyes to look at other forms, that will actually vanish. So only when we so for that one has to develop a habit of taking darshan of the Lord. That is why we see that Kapil Dev section, it will come later. Hasam harer avanata kila loka tivra shokashu sagara vishoshanam atyudaram sammohanaya rachitam nijamaya yasya brumandalam munikrite makaradvajasya. It is said that hasam harer avanata kila loka tivra, when a person meditates on the beautiful smile of the Lord, shokashu sagara vishoshanam atyudaram, the ocean of tears caused by the lamentation due to miseries, that gets dried up. Sammohanaya rachitam nijamaya yasya brumandalam munikrite makaradvajasya. And one should meditate on the arched eyebrows of the Lord. which is all these features of the Lord are actually under the internal energy of the Supreme Lord. When a person meditates on the arched eyebrows of the Lord, then the lusty desire of the sages, Brumandalam Munikrite Makaradvajasya, the sages becomes free from the attack of the Kamadev. A sage or a person will be able to conquer his lusty desire easily by meditating on the arched eyebrows of the Lord. So we see that, so therefore we have to we should know like where to actually where to focus our eyes on. We need to, as Maharaj mentioned that I think last year maybe not last year, maybe previous time, some yoga groups came and then some brahmachari was like looking down and was going. So that yoga group, there was another brahmachari was there telling about the place to that that yoga leader, that lady. So she asked this brahmachari that, so what is that devotee doing? Why is he actually looking there and then going? So this devotee understood why is he looking at us, because she is not dressed properly and then he was going like that. So he said that, oh, he is actually doing some meditation, he is praying. He's trying to cover. So of course, that's not as expected, because last year when the yoga groups came, they had a special session that you should actually look at them and do the proper services. That's expected. Otherwise, they feel offended. So we may have to do the needful. But the point is that we should not focus upon when we is not needed. Because in farm only for a few months of the year, maybe people may come. So basically, mind has a need for fantasizing. So that fantasizing needs of the mind, that actually, that gets food from what we see through our eyes. So what we actually focus through our eyes, so through that the mind gets the food for fantasizing. So therefore it is very important to actually take darshan of the Lord properly. So Chaitanya Charantru, in one class he was mentioning that the struggle against Maya, it goes through actually four stages. So initially a person gets defeated hopelessly. Hopeless defeat. One gets defeated hopelessly. And then that means like he doesn't put any effort to win only. So he just hopelessly gets defeated. So then a person struggles, but he gets defeated. A person is struggling to overcome, but one gets defeated. And then the third stage is that a person struggles and then becomes victorious by taking shelter of Krishna. Means a person puts an effort and then with struggle he actually tries to restrain himself. And the fourth stage is that effortless victory. There is no struggle on his part to actually to say no. Effortlessly he is victorious. Hopeless defeat, struggle and defeat, struggle and victory, and effortless victory. So effortless victory is like the stage of virakti. One of the nine symptoms of Bhava Bhakti, it is described as virakti. Virakti means even in the presence of sense objects, even when a person is surrounded by sense objects, a person is indifferent. As Prabhupada mentioned, as one taxi driver asked Prabhupada, what miracle can you perform? So Prabhupada said, I can be in a room filled with naked women and still nothing will happen to me. So that is like effortless victory. But the first stage, which is like a hopeless defeat, that is like even when there is no sense object, even when there is no sense object, a person is like bewildered and his mind is completely carried away. So that is what is happening with respect to the demons here. There is no women here, but just the evening twilight, it was in the form of a woman. Actually, there was nobody there. Even when there is no women, but they were like a complete, their mind was like a, their minds are completely carried away by that illusory form of a woman. So that is like the hopeless defeat. And we have to come to the stage of at least struggle and victory. So, if you see, like one place, Prabhupada explains, in fact, the fourth canto in the Puranjan section, because especially here we see in these verses, the demons are describing the beauty of a woman, like in minute details, the form of a twilight. So that's why Prabhupada explains in one purport in the fourth canto, 24th chapter. He says that women's form is the complete representation of Maya. The form of a woman is the complete representation of Maya. So we have, that's why one has to be careful of. So another purport Prabhupada explains that Maya is so strong that unless one is determined not to fall victim, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot give protection. Unless one is determined not to fall victim, even the Lord cannot give protection. So one may ask, like, why is it so hard? So Prabhupada said, Maya is strong because your purpose is not strong. Or as the saying goes, obstacles are those things you see when you lose sight of the goal. You feel Maya is strong, or you feel there are so many obstacles because, like, our purpose is not strong, or because we have lost sight of the goal. So that is why we can never blame the surroundings for our mistakes. Ultimately, the mistake actually lies with the person. The surroundings can help a person to some extent, but ultimately, if the character of a person, if the person decides to do something wrong, then surroundings cannot help. So, or if he translate that statement into Krishna consciousness text, sex desire is what you see when you lose sight of Radha and Krishna. So when we lose sight of Radha and Krishna, then we actually get like attracted to the opposite sex. So Prabhupada said that Maya does not have actually anything to do. In one sense, if you see, Maya actually, she doesn't have anything to do with the general people, because she has created this sex desire and everyone is bound by the sex desire, so therefore she is just relaxing. So it is like a, we say, this autopilot mode. Like you drive the plane in a autopilot mode, then the plane is moving automatically even the pilot is not doing anything. Similarly, Maya has just created this sex desire, so by that everyone is taken care of. Like everyone is like absorbed in enjoying the illusory pleasure. So, because that, by that desire, like everyone, that actually, that is like the root cause, and that actually increases the attachment to the material world. So because of sex desire, the material entanglement of the conditioned soul is an automatic pilot, in autopilot mode. So if we desire to control our sex desire, and if we desire to live our life not to be like the other people in this world, then Maya has to take time off from her vacation and give us special attention. So Maya has gone on vacation by putting everything in autopilot mode. But when a person takes to Krishna consciousness, when a person joins Brahmacharya ashram, then the Maya, we are forcing Maya to come out of her vacation. So in that sense, like, she is going to work us, she is going to try to work us over. So therefore, one has to be extra careful, the person joins the ashram. So Prabhupada writes in the 7th canto purport that by making plans with determination, one should give up the lusty desires for sense gratification. So we see all the religions, whichever religion it may be, all the religions, they actually tell us about the decrease in the indulgement of sense gratification in order to advance. Once one of the disciples of Buddha asked Buddha, he said that because Buddhists, they didn't talk about the Vedas, but they talked about detachment, they talked about how material desire is the root cause of everything. So Buddha actually did not accept any women disciples. So one of the disciples of Buddha called as Ananta, he asked Buddha, he said, if you don't accept women disciples, then half of the population will not be Buddhists. So that means, like, we are not attempting only half the population. Then Buddha said, but if we accept women, maybe even the existing disciples, they may also get lost. So in that sense, all the religions, they actually talk about this. Like Pythagoras, he's not even some religious person, he's just a material thinker. Somebody asked him that when should a person have sex? He said, when you want to be weaker than yourself. So here we see Vishnu Chakotaka writes in this purport that these demons imagined the sound of the birds returning to their nests in the twilight to be the sound of the ankle bells. So they are seeing the form of a woman. They see different things as different parts of the woman. Like the birds were chirping in the evening time. They thought that to be the sound of the ankle bells of that particular woman. And they imagined the different clouds with specific shapes to be women's feet, eyes, hips and breasts. And the evening twilight had a pink color, and they felt, oh, she is wearing a pink color dress. And then the disappearance of the clouds, they thought that, oh, she is actually, this woman is hiding in shyness. There was like very small amount of sun rays were coming, evening twilight time. So they felt this evening that resembled the glance and the smile of that girl. Small amount of sun rays which was present, that resembled the smile and the glance of that particular girl. And her black hair extending from her head to her feet was a towering black cloud. And they saw a black cloud and they felt, oh, it is actually the long hair of that girl. So in this way, the demons were actually, there is no form there, there is no women, but still they were actually attracted to that form. So we can see that how much more one should be actually careful about the real form. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I do not even want to see a wooden doll. So Prabhupada writes here, a godly person is full of knowledge and a demoniac person is full of ignorance. Just as a child is attracted by a beautiful doll, similarly a demon who is less intelligent and full of ignorance is attracted by material beauty and an appetite for sex. The godly person knows that this nicely dressed and ornamented attraction of high breasts, high hips, beautiful nose and fair complexion is maya. And all the beauty a woman can display is only a combination of flesh and blood. So then he quotes Shankaracharya, who says that one should not be attracted by the form of a woman, which is nothing but a combination of flesh and blood and urine and mucus. So if you see in one sense, the whole body is just covered by a skin, and the skin is just it's just hardly a few centimeter or maybe less than that or something, millimeters, only that much deep. But below that, there's only mucus and blood and different marrow and fat and different things. If our eyes were made in such a way, the eyes were like a microscope, then we will actually get disgusted by that form. So one is that the form itself is composed of urine and flesh and different substances. And another is that our eyes are made in such a way that we are not able to perceive that reality. Our eyes are made in such a way that we are just seeing the superficial this thing. If our eyes are made in a way like a microscope, the skin would not appear as attractive, because so many hairs coming out and some bacteria moving, etc. So the maya has actually created our eyes also in such a relative manner, so that we don't actually perceive the reality. Of course, this is such a thing that even though we may know this, or according to fifth canto, you may even talk about it, but still actually a person falls victim to the illusory energy. So we have to... They have to. Yeah, that is the power of illusory energy. Listen, like there are real stories. People having love affair, the dead body is there in between, the mortuary. Mortuary is the place where they mortuary, na? Is it? Deception, dissection. So the dead body is there, and one boy and girl are actually trying to study it, and while studying that they are having some love talk. So the actual story somebody told. So the point is that, saying that how the illusory energy is so powerful. So that's why if you see, there is a verse in the fifth canto, even a person may even talk about it, but still even such a person may actually fall victim. So one should never think that you have gone above this thing. So in the case of, that's why the doctors, it's not that all doctors should see like that. The point is that even the doctors, when a person is attached to something, even a person sees the patient as only a money-making machine. Oh, nice patient has come, I can make a lot of money. Instead of seeing the suffering of the person, so when a person is blinded by that material enjoyment, then one is not able to see the reality. Krishna Prabhu was saying once he had gone on a BBT tour to Hong Kong. So he saw that there is a particular place where all the things which are related to like a cremation, Maybe there they may not cremate the body, but they bury the body. So there is a particular shopping mall where if you go inside, you will be only reminded of death. Only because all the things which are related to like burying the body, only they are sold. But just outside that mall, and a boy and girl were having some offer. The point is, also they are just in front, they see the shopping mall, a person is reminded only of the death, but then a person is will not be able to understand the reality. That's what we say, Pashyan Apina Pashyati. So, so here Prabhupada, right, so if we see, if we try to understand, like suppose we ourselves have, like most of us have some sickness or something. So when we have, we can, if we try to contemplate, when we go through sickness or when we're having a chronic sickness, etc., we can actually understand how this material body, how having this one material body does not give us pleasure. So when we have experience of our own material body not giving pleasure, then how can we hope that when you get another material body, it will give us pleasure? Like so much of time goes in tolerating the miseries given by this material body. So how can we hope that when we come in contact with another material body, we can actually get pleasure? So one who is attracted by the beauty of Radha and Krishna cannot be attracted by the false beauty of this material world. This is the difference between a demon and a godly person or a devotee. So why actually people don't feel lust as a problem? That why don't feel though I have to control this problem, I have to actually say no to these desires? Because the reason is that, for example, when a person has got diabetes, a diabetic patient, he has experience of his good health before he got diabetes. He has the past memories of how I was enjoying a good health, how he was enjoying a good health before he got diabetes. So because of that, a diabetes patient, he takes the medicine in order to come out of the diabetes. Because maybe 10 years back he got diabetes, or 5 years back he got diabetes. He tries to come out of it. But in the case of a lust patient, like we have been having this disease since time immemorial. So we have forgotten our memory of like lust-free health, which was maybe many millions of lifetimes before. So because we have forgotten that memory, so most people, they don't put effort to come out of the disease. So only when you remember good health, then a person tries to come out of it. So that is why, just like if you see, like suppose sometimes when a person has a some tuberculosis, so they want to find out which bacteria, which drug will work for this particular tuberculosis. So then they take the blood and they give the blood for some culture test to find out, they put the blood in different cultures to find out like which drug will work, which bacteria is there. So they can, in order to find out which like antibiotic or which thing to administer. So when a person is put in a, just like in the bacterial culture or yeast culture, we say. So bacterial culture or yeast culture is an environment in which they can flourish. A particular bacteria will flourish in a particular environment. In a particular environment, that particular bacteria will actually flourish. So that culture is like a conducive environment in which either a divine side or a demonic side of a person will flourish. So culture is like a conducive environment which will flourish either the good side or the which will make a, which will actually make, bring out the good side or the bad side of a person. So human culture is the environment in which the human qualities will flourish. And animal culture is the environment which will actually bring out the animal qualities from the person. So when a person is put in an environment where there is constant sense gratification, like where there is only animal culture, then he forgets completely the divine side. Only the animal side is brought out. A person acts on the animalistic platform. And when a person acts in the animalistic platform, we can't even perceive spiritual truths, what to speak of realizing them. So like when a person is in the animalistic platform, when a person is in an environment in which only animal culture is there, it's like whatever you feel like, you do anything, anytime, whatever gives pleasure to senses, you do it. Then such people cannot even perceive the spiritual truths, what to speak of realizing them. Like a Purna Chandra Maharaj. Now he's no more, but a few years back he left his body. But he was preaching in Russia. In one lecture he was giving, he was telling that how you are not the body. So then somebody asked, so if I am not the body, then whose body am I? They couldn't actually accept the conception that we are, how we cannot be the body. Maybe I am not this body, maybe I must be somebody else's body. Whose body am I? We can see, because Russians are there, the vodka is like you drink just like you drink water, there you drink vodka. So because animalistic culture is there, so because of that they are not even able to perceive the spiritual truths. It's like that. So next verse. Aho rupam aho dairyam aho asyanavam vayah madye kamya mananam akameva visarpati. They are saying, aho rupam, what a beautiful form she has. Aho dairyam, oh how much sense control she has. Or how much patience she has. And she's so young. What a fresh youth she has. And then, we are all desiring to enjoy her, but she is moving as if detached. She is moving as if detached. Akameva visarpati. Next verse. Vitarkayanto bahuda tam sandhyam param pramadakritim abhisambhavya vishrambat pariyaprichan kumedasaha. So vitarkayanto means they were speculating about the evening twilight, and they treated her with respect and fondly spoke to her. They were thinking, is she attracted to us or not? They were speculating, is she a goddess or is she a human? Or is she a prostitute or a woman of strict vows? In this way they speculated. They received her properly. Abhisambhavya. Kasi kasyasi ramboru kovartastetra bhamini rupadravina panyena durbagano vibadase. So they are saying, first thing they are asking, Kasi, who are you and whose daughter are you? That means like, even the demons have some culture that women mean they, she must be belonging to somebody. Whose daughter are you? She must be like, they have the culture that women mean they, she has to be either under a father or a husband or a son. So that's why they're asking, whom do you belong to? So, why are you in this place? Why do you torture us, unfortunate beings, Durbagan, by putting your priceless beauty for sale? So, the mentality of the demons is being enamored with the false beauty of this material world is expressed herein. The demoniac can pay any price for the skin beauty of this material world. Like in the early days in ISKCON, and Prabhupada I think first came to San Francisco. So, you know that Avalon Ballroom concert, Prabhupada came and sang kirtan there. There are only hippies there. So hippies, as such, they are actually controversial people. Even the American society had rejected the hippies. As it is said, like, hippies would rebel without a cause, and they would rebel without a pause. Like, constantly rebelling and without any cause they would. So even among the hippies, the famous among the hippies were a particular group called as Fugs. They were a group of hippies who were, even among the hippies, they were like the most famous, they were most like worst among the hippies. So they would write very vulgar music, all about like sex and different this thing. Once they were actually brought for like Prabhupada's program. So when they came, Prabhupada, the other day, he spoke all about illusion of sex. Like for them, like sex was like their worshipable deity. But Prabhupada in that lecture, he just spoke all about that only. And of course, they never came back again. So Haigiri Prabhu, he writes in his Hare Krishna explosion. He says that it is like Prabhupada was telling people to fast when everybody around them was feasting. So I was just telling, like here, in Govardhan farm it is difficult to fast or perform austerities when there is such nice prasadam. When everybody around is like eating all of this thing, in the midst of that to fast is very difficult. So he said, if you preach about illicit sex and etc., nobody would come. So Prabhupada said, I have not come here to please Americans, but I have come here to please Krishna. So Prabhupada was sympathetic, but uncompromising. next verse. So here, so Prabhupada writes here, the demoniac, they work very hard all day and night, but the purpose of their hard work is to enjoy sex life. You know that famous pastime of, like Prabhupada was there in New York, Ratayatra. He was there in the Ratakart and then there was another sannyasi with him. So Prabhupada asked that, what do you think about the New York women? So this devotee, He didn't expect such a question from Prabhupada. He was like, first bewildered about like what to answer. And Prabhupada said, second question was even more bewildering. Prabhupada asked that, beautiful, isn't it? Aren't they beautiful? Then he was even more bewildered. Then Prabhupada said, they have to be beautiful. Because otherwise, why there are such big skyscrapers? Such big skyscrapers, that means like men are working very hard. They are working hard because the women are beautiful. So he was trying to say how the whole world is, people are working hard because, mainly because of this attraction. So one devotee was going on, had gone to Barsana eye camp. So he just went to an Vrajavasi's house to look for some water or something. It was just daytime, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock or something. So there was one young man was just relaxing and lying on the cot in his room. So then the devotee just asked him, "Aapka kuch kaam nahi hai kya? Na, the daytime you are just relaxing, you don't have any work." So he said, "Jinko kaam hai, unko kaam karna padta hai." So Prabhupada is writing here that the purpose of their hard work is to enjoy sex life. Sometimes they misrepresent themselves as karma yogis, not knowing the meaning of the word yoga. Yoga means to link up with the Supreme Personality of Godhead or to act in Krishna consciousness. A person who works very hard, no matter in what occupation, and who offers the result of the work to the service of Krishna is called a karma yogi. Next verse. Yava kachitvam abale dishtya sandarshanam tava utsuno shikshamananam kanduka kridayamanaha. So they are actually seeing this girl playing with a ball. So this is a very strong purport of Prabhupada. So Prabhupada says, one is to enjoy sex grossly, but another is to have a subtle sex mentality. That is to see others enjoying sex. So that is the subtle sex mentality. Because even subtler is the desire for name, fame, adoration, that is there. So sometimes the demoniac arrange for so-called sports like tennis with the opposite sex. The purpose of such sporting is to see the bodily construction of the beautiful girl and enjoy a subtle sex mentality. This demoniac sex mentality of material enjoyment is sometimes encouraged by so-called yogis who encourage the public to enjoy sex life in different varieties and at the same time advertise that if one meditates on a certain manufactured mantra, one can become God within 6 months. But Prabhupada doesn't mention the name, but there are usually mentions. One very famous spiritualist in India, it was described that in the last days he was watching some Wimbledon tennis match. So the public wants to be cheated and Krishna therefore creates such cheaters to misrepresent and delude. These so-called yogis are actually enjoyers of the world garbed as yogis. And then he says, a diseased person cannot enjoy anything. So he says that enjoyment is there, but then in a diseased condition you cannot enjoy. First one has to purify the senses. Then on the spiritual platform, then a person can enjoy unlimitedly. of course it's not sense gratification, by serving Krishna one's senses are also actually satisfied. So you see that the Vedic way of life, the Vedic culture, it is not that sense gratification is condemned. So they say, oh, even if you want to enjoy sense gratification, but enjoy in a dharmic way. The sense gratification is like a salt. Saw that example previously. The salt, when it is too much, then also you can't eat the food. When it is too less, then also you can't appreciate. It should be in appropriate quantity. It's like a salt or it's like a sugar. So basically, like when a person has a material body, the body's capacity to enjoy sex is limited. But the mind's capacity to enjoy is unlimited. So that is why, even though a person has grown old, the body is not having capacity, because the mind's capacity is that he wants to watch people enjoying sex. Or he wants to watch such like tennis matches, or which is, at that time Prabhupada is writing there. But now so it has degraded to a much worse level. Next verse.
Naikatrate jayati shalini pada padmam gnantya mukhukaratalena patat patangam sthanabhara bhitam shanteva drishti ramala sushika samuhu.
So just like if you see when you wash clothes, so material body is like a wet cloth. So initially when the cloth is wet, when you try to squeeze the cloth, like lot of water comes out. Even when you don't squeeze only, that time the water starts dripping. And then then as time progresses, water drips slowly. Then when you squeeze, then more water comes. So when you keep on squeezing, the quantity of water keeps on reducing. And at a certain point, the cloth is so completely squeezed, even a drop of water doesn't come. So material body is like that. So at the youth, when the hormones are actually getting produced, and so that time the material body produces pleasure. But as time progresses, as a person starts squeezing the body more and more, then the quantity of water keeps on reducing. That means the pleasure, the capacity of the body to give pleasure, that keeps on reducing. And at a certain point, the body has no capacity at all. So, but people don't accept that, and then they try to invent this drugs like Viagra. Instead of accepting the reality. The demons observed the beautiful gestures in the women's every step. Here they praise her fully grown breasts, her scattered hair, and her movements in stepping forward and backward while playing with the ball. In every step, they enjoy her womanly beauty, and while they enjoy her beauty, their minds become agitated by sex desire. As moths at night surround a fire and are killed, so the demons become victims of the movements of the ball-like breasts of the beautiful woman. The scattered hair of a beautiful woman also afflicts the heart of a lusty demon. That is why traditionally they don't expose the hair. Next verse. इति शायन्तनीं संध्याम असुरा प्रमदायतिं प्रलोभयन्तीं जगृहुर् मत्वा मूढदियस्त्रियम्। So this verse describes that that how that form of women they were describing is actually, I think, but evening twilight, and then they seized her. So now Lord Brahma laughed at these acts of the asuras, and then Lord Brahma creates the next personalities, Gandharvas and Apsaras, by his beauty. प्रहस्य भाव गंभीरं जिग्रन्त्यात्मानमात्मना कांत्या ससर्ज भगवान गंधर्वाप्सरसां गुणान्। So it is described, Brahma created the Gandharvas and Apsaras by his beauty which he had relished. So by different aspects of Lord Brahma's body, different personalities are created. So one general lesson we can actually take is that how, depending on the mentality or the different a particular soul is actually attracted to get a particular in that particular womb, in a person is in a particular mood, then he actually attracts a certain soul when he actually procreates. So Lord Brahma here, previously from its buttocks the demons were created. Now Brahma, by relishing his beauty which he had relished, by his beauty which he had relished, he actually created the Gandharvas and Apsaras. So here Prabhupada writes, Gandharvas and Apsaras, they are good in music and dance. But even when music and dance, when they are not engaged in the service of the Lord, then it is also a kind of sense gratification. Music and dance employed in the sense gratification are to be accepted as demoniac. But the same music and dancing, when employed in the service of the Lord, then they bring about a life completely fit for spiritual enjoyment. Once one devotee asked Prabhupada about one famous Indian classical musician, I think flute player Ravi Shankar or somebody, I forget the name. So the devotee asked Prabhupada, what about this person's music, can we hear his music? So Prabhupada said, no, that is Maya. Then devotee said, it's not actually, it's just a classical music, melodious music, why can't we hear that music? Prabhupada said, that is Maya, because he is doing it for his own name and fame. He's not doing it for the service of the Lord. So therefore, even that is also Maya. Next verse. Which is the verse? Yeah. Visasarjatanam tam vai jyotsnam kantimatim priyam tayeva chadadu pritya vishwad vasupurogama. So Brahma gave up that body of beauty which became moonlight, and the Gandharvas headed by Vishwavasu accepted it. सृष्ट्वा भूतपिशाचांश्च भगवान् आत्मतन्द्रिणा दिग्वाससो मुक्तकेशान् वीक्ष्य चामीलयदृशौ। So it is said, Brahma's laziness led to the creation of ghosts. Brahma's laziness led to the creation of the ghosts. So once when Brahma felt lazy, then Brahma went to sleep. So it is said when a person goes to sleep, then the senses become contaminated. So that is why a person is supposed to take bath after sleep. So in senses, when senses become contaminated, and so then from that actually the bhutas and pishachas appear. So that is why we see that ghosts actually attack a person, especially when a person is in an unclean state. So those who are unclean by nature, they are attacked by ghosts. Next verse.
Jagruhustad visrishtam tam jrimbanakyam tanum prabho nidram indriya vikledo yaya bhuteshu drishyate yeno chishta.
So bhutas, during sleep, moistening of the mouth and other senses take place. By that the bhutas attack contaminated persons. That attack is called madness. So when a person is in an unclean state, then he is attacked by the ghost. And a person is attacked by the ghost, then he is called as a mad person. Next verse.
Urjasvantam manyamana atmanam bhagavan ajaha sadhyam ganan triputraganan parokshe nasrijat prabhu.
So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, from Lord Brahma's power, sadhyas were created, and from his invisibility, he created the pitras. So next verse, Prabhupada talks about the Shraddha ceremony.
Tha atma sargam kamkayam pitara pratipedire sadaye bhyascha pitrubhyascha.
So it is said that so in this purport Prabhupada talks about Shraddha ceremony because the pitas are being talked about. The pitras, they came out of the invisibility of Lord Brahma. So then he mentions in regards to Shraddha, how Shraddha is an important duty of a householder. But in the case of a Vaishnava, because the Lord is pleased with a Vaishnava, he delivers all his forefathers. And then he gives the example of Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj, Lord Narasingadev said that I actually delivered all your 21 generations. But if you see, in the case of, when you read the 7th canto, Narasingadev, before leaving, after the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj were completed, then at the end, Prahlad Maharaj even asked for a benediction. My benediction is that I want that my father be delivered. So Narasingadev says that I already sanctioned. Your father is already delivered. Then finally Narasingadev says, so now you must perform the Shraddha ceremony for your father. So in this purport, if you see, Prabhupada is saying, Prahlad Maharaj, the Lord replied that in a family where a Vaishnava like Prahlad is born, not only his father, but his leaders, but his father's father and their fathers up to the 14th father back are all automatically delivered. So Prahlad Maharaj had asked, and then so Prahlad Maharaj, all his parents are already delivered simply because he was a devotee. But the Lord ultimate, finally, if you read 7th canto 10th chapter, just before Narasingadev going to his abode, he tells Prahlad Maharaj, so you must perform the Shraddha. Even Lord Ram also, he told Vibhishan to perform the Shraddha for his brother, although he was reluctant to do it. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, the reason is that Lord wanted Prahlad Maharaj to perform the Shraddha in order to set example for the common people. So for the common people. So Vaishnava, there are only, when a Vaishnava is engaged in some karma kanda rituals, one should actually make sure that karma kanda rituals don't cover his devotional service. Anya abhilashuta shunyam jnana karma adi anavritam. Devotional service should not be covered by jnana and karma. So when will the devotional service be covered by jnana and karma? A devotional service will be covered by karma when a person thinks that, oh, by performing this fruitive activity, my taste for chanting will improve. So then devotional service is being covered by karma, because we are making devotional service dependent on some other process. Or if a person thinks that if I do not perform this ritual, if I do not perform har saal Ganpati ka puja rehta hai, so if we stop performing this Ganpati puja, even though we are chanting Hare Krishna, we will get the reaction. So to have that mentality is also wrong, because we are lacking faith in Krishna's statement that simply by serving Krishna, automatically all one's sins are taken care of. So basically, when a person performs Shraddha ceremony, or when a person performs any ritual, by having the right attitude, one can make sure that his devotional service is not covered by karma. So when a person thinks that by doing this, it will help me in my devotional service, then his devotional service is covered by karma. Or if a person thinks that if I don't do this, if I don't do this ritual, even though I'm performing devotional service, I will incur the sin, I will get reaction. So to think also like that also is actually, in that sense also, devotional service covered by karma. So a devotee like Prahlad Maharaj, he may perform the Shraddha ceremony, but for the sake of setting example for the general people, and to example for general people, because general mass of people, they are not in the platform of pure devotional service. They have to perform these Shraddha and other things. So to set example for them, Prahlad Maharaj performed it. And second reason is that in order that the common people don't blaspheme a devotee. Oh, a Hare Krishna devotee, fanatic loge, they don't go to any temple, they don't go to any other this thing. So they blaspheme. So just a devotee, just to avoid that common people don't blaspheme them, so sometimes they also take part in such activities, in order that at least general people don't offend the blaspheme the devotees. Because from the point of view of the brahmachari, there is no obligation in the form of performing Shraddha. But in the case of a grahastha, there is definitely a opportunity, there is an obligation to perform Shraddha. What? Pitrus are the forefathers. No, we in the Shraddha ceremony, what we do is we try to benefit our forefathers, like father, grandfather, great grandfather, by giving them Vishnu Prasad in order to elevate them to a higher position. Some people might not have got a gross body, So they will get a like grass body by getting this like pious credits. So forefathers, like certain details we may find in Garuda Puran, etc. But in general, the essence of Shraddha is that like we try to show our gratitude to the forefathers by offering the Vishnu Prasad. And by that, they will actually, wherever they are, they will actually progress in their journey. If they have not got a grass body, they may get a grass body. If they have not got certain other things, if they are there in a particular planet, then they may go to a higher planet. Huh. So that is in general a principle. They come in the form of crows. I don't know how true it is. In our home also every day we used to offer crows. I don't know that. But the principle of Shraddha is that we are trying to show gratitude. For brahmacharis, as long as a person is dedicated to the guru, he doesn't have the obligation to perform the Shraddha. But the grahasthas, definitely they are expected to perform Shraddha. Pitruloka? Pitruloka is one of the higher planet. They may go to Pitruloka. In general, it is like they progress to a higher stage. Somebody who has not got a grass body, they will get a grass body. Somebody who maybe already having a grass body, they will get a better facility, better destination. So something like that. Technical details you may have to refer to Garuda Puran. But the principle is that showing gratitude to others. Showing gratitude. Because like we have got a when a devotee thinks we are able to take to Krishna consciousness because of the cultural bagging. Because we have got a good culture from our parents. So they have got good culture from their parents. In that sense, our forefathers, because they have set up a proper culture in the family. That is actually helping us to practice Krishna consciousness in a sustainable manner. So those people who didn't have that family culture, they're not able to practice Krishna consciousness in a sustainable manner. They're not able to practice. I guess like in the case of Americans, who actually comes from broken family. They didn't properly have the affection of the father or the mother. So then when they take up a spiritual master, they expect the spiritual master to play all the roles. Even the role of a mother or a father. So they depend on Guru Kripa for everything. But a Guru, when we say Guru is a father or a mother, it is poetic. Guru cannot play the role of a father or a mother. Only a father can play the role of a father. Only a mother can play the role of a mother. You cannot expect in a spiritual organization, oh, Guru will show affection, will also feed me. Like, we cannot. So, in India, in the West, because they don't have proper father, mother, broken families, so they expect Guru to actually reciprocate, play all the roles. This is not possible. So, but in India, because the family culture is still there, so those needs are fulfilled by the family culture. So because of that, a person is able to sustainably practice spiritual life. So, from that point of view, even for our practice of Krishna consciousness in a sustainable manner, to some extent we are grateful to the culture which has been given to us. And in that sense, we are grateful. We have to be grateful to our forefathers also. So that gratitude is that when we show, as we discussed in that Kashyapa Muni and Diti. Kashyapa Muni told Diti, "Oh, I cannot repay your debt even neither in this lifetime nor even in the next lifetime." So gratitude has to be given to everyone. Whoever has done good, gratitude has to be there. But when you, instead of showing a certain amount of gratitude, when you do hero worship, say that means, when we say, when Kashyapa Muni is saying, even life after life, if a man cannot actually repay the debt towards wife, what Prabhupada is writing in the purport? He's either speaking in a joking manner or he's a henpecked husband. Huh. I mean, like when you give gratitude more than what is required, this statement, when giving life after life, that is only for Guru and Krishna. Then that is a mistake. That is like hero worship or something more than what is required. So we don't have to do that. At the same time, I will only serve Krishna, Devarishi, Bhutapta, Ninam, Pitrinam, all the debts to all these people are done. I am a pure devotee of Krishna. I don't have any obligation towards these people. I don't have to care for my father or mother. That is like another extreme. So we show whatever gratitude which we have towards others, we show that. And the ultimate gratitude is towards Guru and Krishna. So that is the Shraddha ceremony. Is it clear? Because although Prabhupada is writing here in the purport, Prahlad Maharaj requested Lord Narasingha to deliver his sinful father, but so many times offended the lotus feet of the Lord. So, he says that the Lord replied that in a family where a Vaishnava like Prahlad is born, not only his father, but his father's father and their fathers up to the 14th father back are all automatically delivered. So, but the same Narasingha Dev told Prahlad Maharaj to perform the Shraddha. Because in order to set exam, for Prahlad Maharaj, there is no need to perform Shraddha because his forefathers are already delivered. But because he is a king, he is seen as an example by other people. Whatever he would do, others would do. And all others people, they are not in the pure devotional platform. They definitely need to perform all these obligations. So therefore, Narasingha Dev said, you must perform the Shraddha for your father. Are you getting this point? So when a pure devotee performs this, he doesn't put faith in them. He just performs it in order to set example for other people. And second is, in order that the common people don't blaspheme the devotees. Oh, yeah, Hare Krishna, yes, sir. Hare Krishna was a fanatic. So then they don't do these things. A devotee may do that, but without putting his heart into it, just to actually, the common people don't blaspheme unnecessarily community of devotees. So then, we talked about Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam. Next verse. Siddhan vidyadaram chaiva tirodanena sosrujat tebyo adadatam atmanam antardanakya madbutam. So here it is explained that then Lord Brahma disappeared, and from the disappearance of Lord Brahma, Siddhas and Vidyadharas, they were created. So previously, it is described from Lord Brahma's invisibility, Pitris were created. From his power, the sadhyas were created. So different, like from his buttocks, the demons were created. Then afterward, from when Lord Brahma started enjoying his, relishing his beauty, from his beauty, Gandharvas and Apsaras were created. And then, from his laziness, ghosts and pishachas were created. It shows that how ghosts attack only contaminated people, unclean people. And then from his power and invisibility, sadhyas and pitas were created. Now it is described that from Lord Brahma's disappearance, the siddhas and vidyadharas are created. So now the next, I will just take, I think 5 minutes, 5 minutes break we'll take and then we'll continue. Continue. Which verse? 40. Okay. Sakinnaran kim purushan pratyatmeyan srajat prabhu manayan atman atmanam atma basam vilokayan. So now the Kinnaras and Kimpurushas were created from the reflection of Lord Brahma. So Prabhupada talks about, he says that, so that is why they and their spouses sing his praises. Praise, he tells in the next verse. But I will read the next verse and then we'll go. ते तु तच्चगृहु रूपं त्यक्तं यत्परमेष्टिना मैथुनी भूय गायन्तस्तम्येवोषसि कर्मभिः. So the reflection displayed men and women together. and they accepted that reflection. The Kimpurushas and Kinnaras, they accepted that reflection which was left by Lord Brahma as their body. And it is described that in couples, they started praising Lord Brahma for his actions in the dawn. Next verse.
Dehena vai bhogavata shayano bahu chintaya sarge anupachite krodat utsa sarjaha tadvapuhu.
Once Lord Brahma was not satisfied the way creation was going. So then he was worried, and his limbs got spread out. Then he became angry, and then from that anger snakes appeared. Then when anger appeared, he rejected that body, and from that anger actually the snakes and different nagas, they all appeared.
Yehiyantamutakesha ahayastenga jagnire sarpa prasarpata krura naga bogoru kandara. Sa atmanam manyamana krita krityam ivatmabhu tada manun sasarjante manasa loka bhavanan.
So one thing we see is that, for the translation, so depending on the particular mood in which Lord Brahma was there, particular living entities were created. Lord Brahma was feeling little lazy, and he went to sleep and then was in a contaminated state, and from that the bhutas and pishachas they created. Now Lord Brahma was in a little angry mood, was not satisfied the way the creation was going on, and he became from the dissatisfaction he became a little angry, and from that anger the serpents were created, which are also like angry and envious in nature.
It actually refers to a dropping of the mentality, not the gross body. We discussed in the beginning of the class, like Sridhar Swami mentions that when the demons, the daityas were created by Lord Brahma, when they attacked Lord Brahma, then Lord Brahma took shelter of the Lord. And the Lord told Lord Brahma, "You cast off the sinful mentality." Here? No, it's Vrishna Chakutakura explains from that body the hair which fell became ahi or snakes. So Lord Brahma was thinking that he was not satisfied. He thought that how can I make the creation successful? While thinking like that, he lost his power of discrimination. Then great anger appeared. And after that, he gave up that body. So, although it is mentioned, he gave up that body, it refers to basically that subtle body. That subtle body which actually caused him anger. Which caused him anger. It refers to sinful mentality. So, we have to, even when suppose a devotee commits a mistake, breaks some principle, etc., we have to give up the sinful mentality and continue to render service. But in order to give up the body.
Yeah.
that story. Different stories, I don't know, we have to recollect. Here it is mentioned like this. I have to find out. Maybe you can do some research on whether it is different millennium or something. Find out. Lord Ananta is a direct expansion. He is a Vishnu Tattva. So Vishnu Tattva. In one sense, actually, it is all the will of the Lord, because all these living entities have to be created. All these living entities have to be created. But from a human platform, so from a divine platform, it's all, I think Prabhupada writes in one purport, it's all this creation were happened under the control of the Supreme Lord. That is from a divine the divine angle. Because these living entities, they need only that kind of body. So they had to get only that kind of body. And from a human platform, what we understand is that even Lord Brahma was in a particular mood. So he produced this kind of living entities. And in this mood, he produced this kind of living entities. So we understand the lesson is that how at the time of creation, depending on the particular, we have to have the proper mentality. Otherwise, we will attract a wrong soul. So that is a lesson which we can learn. So last week we discussed that point, that how Prabhupada says, because Kashyapa Muni was not in a proper state of mind when he procreated, when he united with Deity. So therefore, he gave birth to two sons who are actually continuously angry. Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So if we see only from a divine platform, this actually Lord wanted to enjoy Viryaras. So he arranged for the Jayan Vijay to come down. You just see only from a pastime point of view. But then you may not learn the lesson which is most needed in according to our level. The lesson is that how Kashyapa Muni, because of the impure state of mind, he attracted demoniac souls. So we have to see the we have to see the pastime from a human angle. Because sometimes when we look only from the transcendental platform, we look only from the transcendence point of view, then we lose track of the human platform. Because without the human platform, we cannot actually go to the transcendence platform. So these lessons are more important. So we can, the lesson especially we see in this lesson, like Brahma, because of a particular mentality, he attracted particular souls. So here, when he became angry, from that anger, cruel living entities were born. So next verse, 49th verse. स आत्मानं मन्यमान कृतकृत्यं इवात्मभु तदा मनुन ससर्जान्ते मनसा लोक भावनान. So now the creation of the Manu is described. Manu. Although Swayambhu Manu is the first person who is born, but it is described as Manus. So it is described in this verse, it is described Sasar Jante, means like at the end, Manu, Swayambhu Manu was born. After this, the birth of the sages are described, but according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, the sages were born before Swayambhu Manu. But although Swayambhu Manu's birth is described before, and the sage's birth is described afterwards. That is Krishna Chaitanya's purport. When Brahma desired to create a couple and became blissful, thinking that his creation was complete, the Manus appeared and took the form of humans for completing the creation. The sages took birth later. So Vishnu Chakra Thakur gives a proper sequence of creation. The proper sequence of the creation is as follows. First, creation of the animals with five joints, then the creation of trees and plants, then the creation of snakes, then the creation of cows and buffaloes, then the creation of yakshas, rakshasas, asuras, kinnaras, kimpurushas, then the creation of the kumaras, and then the creation of the humans. Finally, the manus were created. All the forms previously created increased through the forms of male and female. 50th verse. Tebhya sosru yatsviyam puram purusham atmavan tandrishtva yepura srishta prashasamshu prajapatim. So finally, it is described that the human forms were created, and seeing the Manus in human form, Lord Brahma was very happy. He in fact, all the demigods and Gandharvas, they applauded Lord Brahma. So this shows actually how human form, after Lord Brahma created the human form, then he became most happy, or in the most blissful state human forms were created, and this creation of the human forms was most appreciated by everyone. This shows actually the speciality of the human form of life. Even in the 11th canto, it is described about regarding human form. The Supreme Lord created innumerable species of life to house the conditioned souls. Yet by creating the trees, reptiles, animals, birds, snakes and so on, the Lord was not satisfied in his heart. Then he created human life, which offers the conditioned soul sufficient intelligence to perceive the absolute truth, and then the Lord became pleased. After the Lord created the human form, then he became completely pleased. Here also it is described, when Lord Brahma was in a blissful state, then he created the human form, then this was appreciated by everyone. Aho yetad jagat srashta sukrutam batate krutam pratishtita kriya yasmin sakam annam adamahe. So Prabhupada says here that unless, he quotes 3.10, Sahayagyam Prajasrishtvam Purovacha Prajapati. Unless one pleases the Supreme Lord, or unless one is Krishna conscious, one cannot be happy either in material enjoyment or in spiritual realization. So even for material enjoyment, one has to please the Lord. So that is the point which Prabhupada writes. Next verse. Tapasa vidyaya yukto yogena susamadina rishin rishir rishikesha sasar jabimata praja. So now the birth of the sages are created, but as I mentioned, the sages were created before the Manus. So Prabhupada explains, for material enjoyment, for keeping the body in good health, the ritualistic performances are needed. But for actual spiritual knowledge, what are all required? Tapasa, austerity, concentration, meditation, all these qualifications are needed. So therefore, he created the sages. So after creating persons for economic development, Brahma created sages who would set the example for spiritual realization. So we need people for, we need example, personal examples for those who can show how to progress spiritually. We also need persons for examples for those who can show how to enjoy according to the scriptures. Last verse. Tebhya chaikaika shasvasya dehasyamsham adat ajah yattat samadhi yogardhi tapo vidya viraktimat. So when you love somebody very dearly, you give something which is most dear to you. So previous verse described that the great sages were the beloved sons of Lord Brahma. So therefore, to them, Lord Brahma gave a part of his own body. To others, Brahma gave the reflection of his body, or the shadow of the body, or that different body, like the subtle body made of anger, subtle body made of laziness, different things. But here he gave the best part of his body, which was characterized by deep meditation, mental concentration, supernatural power, austerity, adoration, and renunciation. Because they were his beloved sons, he gave the best part of the body. So Prabhupada writes here, sense gratification and Krishna consciousness go ill together. Propagation that one can enjoy this life materially and at the same time spiritually advance is simply bogus. So when a person is riding on a two horse, how long can a person keep one leg on one horse and another leg on another horse and then keep riding? After some time has to put both the legs on one of the horses. So one cannot continue. After some time, either one has to choose only sense gratification or Krishna consciousness. Can go. So next chapter, we start.
Vidura uvacha swayambhuvascha manor vamsha parama sammataha katyatam bhagavan yatra maitune di re praja.
So Vidura is asking now question to Maitreya Rishi, please give me an account of the race of Swayambhu Manu, because previous chapter described how Swayambhu Manu was. Humans are the best part of the Lord Brahma's creation. So here he is asking about Swayambhu Manu and his dynasty. So usually we see, suppose in a marriage function, and two elderly people, when they come together, their usual the topic of conversation is that, so how many sons you have, how many daughters you have, where are they, how many granddaughters, how many house there. That is the usual topic of conversation. So where is your brother-in-law? Where is his son? But here we see Vidura, he is a renunciant. And Maitreya Rishi, he is also a renunciant. So they also seem to be talking about the same subject matter. Vidura is asking, oh, Swayambhu Manu, how many sons and daughters he had, and tell me the descendants of his family. Just like any typical old man asking another old man, oh, how many sons and daughters, how many grandsons, how many granddaughters. Vidura also seems to be asking a similar question. But it is not like the talk of ordinary old man which we see in this world. So Vidura is asking this question because Swayambhu Manu is a great devotee of the Lord. Indus dynasty, definitely great devotees must have appeared. So therefore he is saying, please give me an account of his race. So Vidura was not interested in hearing the history of persons who merely engaged in sex life. But he was interested in the progeny of Swayambhu Manu, because in the dynasty great kings, great devotee kings appeared and protected their subjects very carefully with spiritual knowledge. So an important word used in this connection is that the dynasty of Swayambhu Manu was approved Vamsha Parama Sammataha. Means like whatever, whomever like Swayambhu Manu gave birth to, all this was approved by the great authorities. With the approval of great authorities, he gave birth to his sons and daughters. As I mentioned previously, like in the Vedic culture, when a person is procreating children, it would be actually a news in the whole village. Like everyone in the village would know that. Because the point is that he would actually get the approval of all the elderly people in the village, and then he would actually perform the act of procreation. So Swayambhu Manu also, his dynasty is most esteemed, and whomever he procreated was the approval of great authorities. So then the next if you see the next verse, the second to fifth verse, second, third, fourth and fifth verse, in four verses he asks in particular about the different sons and daughters of Swayambhu Manu. Please also tell about the sons and daughters of Swayambhu Manu. So he tells the different members of the Swayambhu Manu's family. So that is the Priyavratottanapadau Sutau Swayambhu Vasya Vai Yata Dharmam Jugupatu Saptadvipavati Mahim. Tasya vai duhita brahman deva huti iti vishruta patni prajapate rukta kardamasyatvayanaga. Tasyam savai mahayogi yuktayam yoga lakshanai Sasarjak katida viryam tanme shushusha vevada. So Vidura told that you already spoken of his daughter Devahuti, who was married to Kardama Muni. So does anybody remember where was it mentioned previously about Devahuti? Because Vidura is saying already spoken. Chapter? Yeah, in chapter 12 it is mentioned. So we may sometimes, when we in due course of reading Bhagavatam, we think, why Vidura is suddenly getting this question? So you might forget, so Aitri Rishi had mentioned about Devahuti previously. But Vidura is remembering that. Like in the 8th canto, 24th chapter, Parshit Maharaj suddenly asked a question about Matsyavatar. So you may think, why is he suddenly getting this question? Parshit Maharaj, he had heard all the names of the incarnation in the first chapter, previously, first canto, or at least the second canto. But he saw that so many incarnations are described, but Matsyavatar is not described. So he is actually remembering that and asking question. So yes, here in the fourth verse it is described, Kardama Muni was a Mahayogi and Devahuti was Yoga Lakshana. Yoga Lakshani means like both were actually advanced in the yoga practice. Both were advanced in the yoga practice. tell about the offsprings which Kardama Muni begot in Devahuti. So I am very eager to hear about it. So Prabhupada writes that formerly great sages, they would actually beget children after purifying themselves by performing austerities for a long time. Then they would actually beget children. So now even before marriage it happens. People don't have the guts. So formerly after making their lives perfect, great sages and saintly persons used to beget children. Otherwise they strictly observed the rules and regulations of celibacy. Next verse. Ruchiryo Bhagavan Brahman Dakshova Brahmanasutaha Yata Sasarja Bhutani Labdva Baryamcha Manavim. The other two daughters were of Saimbu Manu, what are their names? Akuti and Prasuti. They were married to actually Ruchi and Daksha. He is asking questions about that also. So Maitreya Uvacha Prajasrijeti Bhagavan Kardamo Brahmanodita Sarasvatyam Tapastepe Sahasranam Samadasha. So we see he performed yoga practice for a span of 10,000 years. So that means yoga practice is not some kind of 15 minute exercise or 45 minutes. So we do it for good health, but that is the point is that actually attaining spiritual perfection, it is not just a 15 minutes or something. It is he practiced for 1 lakh years. Because in Kali Yuga, which is an age of bluffing and quarrel, so people cheat by this the name of this yoga practice. Tatas samadhi yukte na kriya yoge na kardam samprapede harim bhaktya prapanna varadashusham. So here we see Kardama Muni not only practiced Ashtanga Yoga but also devotional service. So the Prabhupada is giving emphasis to that word in the purport. That means like without the touch of devotional service, no other practice can give some result. And then he explained that devotional service is a direct method and all other methods are indirect. In this age of Kali, the direct method is especially more feasible than the indirect because people are short living. Their intelligence is poor and their poverty is stricken, etc. So then he says that who can actually attain perfection by yoga? So a person can be perfection. At the present moment, who will be successful? The rigid performance of the many yoga rules and regulations. Moreover, perfection is attained only by those who are surrendered souls. So the point which Prabhupada says is that if you have to attain perfection in yoga, along with practicing yoga, one has to develop the mood of surrender to the Supreme Lord. Then a person can attain perfection of yoga. And Prabhupada also talks about this verse from the 16th chapter. Atma sambhavita stabda dana mana madanvita ejante nama yajnaiste dambena avidipurvakam. People just for name and sake they perform sacrifices dana mana madanvita to actually maintain their position. That the Supreme Lord sends great cheaters who mislead them in the name of yoga and render their lives useless and doomed. such people may be proud of the money they have plundered from innocent persons who wanted to be cheated. So now the Lord appears. The description of the form of the Lord is starting from here.
Tavat prasanno bhagavan pushkarakshakrite yuge darshayam asatam kshatta shabdam brahmada dadvapuhu.
So shabdam brahma dadat vapuhu. So one meaning is that then the Lord appeared, who can be understood only through the Vedas, or according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, the lotus-eyed Lord, having a body made of the Vedas, pleased with Kardama Muni, appeared there. That means like Lord's body is made of the Vedas. You remember that verse which we discussed? Veda Vidana Murti. The 13th chapter. And then we compared with another verse from the 4th canto. Because the Lord's body is actually the personification of the Vedas. One who is engaged in deity worship, he is also in intimate touch with the deepest purports of the Vedas. You remember that point? Because the Lord's body is the personification of Vedas. So worshipping the deity form is also equivalent to actually studying all the four Vedas 24 hours a day. So next verse.
Sattvam virajam arkabam sita padmo kshipta srajam Snigda Neelala Kavrata Vaktrabjam Virajombaram.
So Lord was having a lily flower instead of a lotus just for amusement. That is the purport of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur.
Kiritinam kundalinam shanka chakra gadadaram shvetotpala kridanakam manas parshasmitekshanam.
So manas parsha smitekshanam, his sight actually captivates the hearts of all devotees. The Dromara section, this verse comes.
Prasada abhimukam shashvat prasanna vadanekshanam sunasam subruvam charu kapolam surasundaram.
The Lord's face is perpetually very beautiful and pleasing in attitude. And to the devotees who see him, he appears never to be displeased and is always prepared to award benedictions to them.
A similar description comes here. Next verse. Vinyastacharanambojam amsha deshe garutmataha drishtva kevastitam vaksha shriyam kaustubha kandaram.
So here in this verse, Prabhupada talks about how the form of the Lord, which is being described here, it is not imaginary, but it is actually factual form of the Lord. And then he says the perfection of yoga is to actually see the form of the Lord. The process of Krishna consciousness is to deliver the form of Krishna directly. So Prabhupada compares Ashtanga Yoga with Krishna consciousness. These descriptions are authoritative, and a Krishna conscious person takes them directly, acts on them, preaches them, and practices devotional service as enjoined in the authoritative scriptures.
Jataharshopatanmurdnakshitau labdamanoratah girbhistabhyagrinat priti svabhavatma kritanjalihi.
So we can see, so Karada Muni is about to start offering prayers from the next verse with a choked throat and with folded hands, with the tears coming from his eyes, he started offering prayers. So this also confirms this Bhagavad Gita verse, Yoginam api sarvesha madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yumam samayuktatamamata.
We can see like different verses in the Gita, they are explained by different pastimes. Because even the Ambarish Maharaj Durvasmani pastime also tells that how the bhakta is higher than a yogi. But here we see that after performing yoga for such a long time, then finally he attained darshan of the Lord. So in that sense, the goal of yoga is to connect with the Supreme Lord.
So Prabhupada writes an elaborate purport. In the first paragraph, he talks about Patanjali Yoga. Because there are certain people who interpret the Patanjali Yoga in such a way that the goal of yoga is to attain impersonal liberation. But Prabhupada gives references that even Patanjali believes in the personal form of the Lord. He is actually internally a devotee. Patanjali also accepts the personal form of the Lord. He describes that the soul is transcendentally pleased when he meets the Supreme Lord and sees him. So if the existence of the super soul and the individual is admitted, then the impersonalist theory of monism is nullified. Therefore, some philosophers and void philosophers twist the Patanjali system in their own way and pollute the whole yoga process. So Patanjali system approves of the pleasure which a living entity gets by connecting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But some people misinterpret and they actually talk about goal of Patanjali Yoga is to attain impersonal liberation. If you remember, where in the Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada talks about Patanjali?
Sixth chapter.
So there Prabhupada talks about two kinds of samadhi in the purport. That, sampragnyata and asampragnyata. Here itself it is mentioned, yeah. So in that, sampragnyata and asampragnyata. So this is from the sixth chapter. The verse is that, Sukham atyantikam yattat buddhi grahyam atindriyam veti yatrana chaivayam sitas chalati tatvatah. When a person is situated in samadhi, sukham atyantikam yattat, a person attains ultimate liberation, and that liberation cannot be perceived with our material senses. Veti yatrana chaivayam sitas chalati tatvatah. So in this purport, Prabhupada talks about this two kinds of samadhi, sampragnyata and asampragnyata. So sampragnyata samadhi has many types, but he says has many types according to the differences of savichara and savitarka. Savichara means when a person is meditating on gross objects, then a person attains savichara sampragnyatika samadhi. And when a person meditates on subtle objects, then a person comes to a stage of savitarka sampragnyata samadhi. But in the case of asampragnyata samadhi, the object of meditation is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the difference between sabragyata and asampragyata. So Prabhupada says that in the asampragyata samadhi, the consciousness does not touch any objects at all, neither gross body nor subtle body, because of complete stoppage. So Patanjali has written the Yoga Sutra. In that, one of his famous Yoga Sutra is Yogas Chitta Vritti Nirodaha. You heard this? Yogas Chitta Vritti Nirodaha. Means like the purpose of yoga is to stop the movement of consciousness. Chitta. Chitta refers to consciousness. It especially refers to materially conditioned consciousness. Chitta refers to our spiritual consciousness. Chitta, when the spiritual consciousness is like brought out through the materially conditioned living entity, then that consciousness is called as chitta, materially conditioned consciousness. The purpose of yoga is yoga chitta vritti nirodha. That means to stop the movement of material consciousness. So Patanjali, he talks about five states of consciousness. First is muda. Muda means when the consciousness is in tamogun, that is called as muda. Then the next state he talks about is kshipta. Kshipta is hyper agitated state of consciousness. Previously it was in tamogun, now you have just begun to clean little bit. So for all that dust, sabdul udraya upa. Hyper agitated state of consciousness. And vikshipta, third is vikshipta means distracted. You are trying to concentrate, but you are distracted. And fourth is ekagrahata. That means a person is having one-pointed attention. Just like Krishna explains in the 18th chapter. He asks the question, kashchid etat shrutam partha tvaya ekagrena chetasa kashchid ajnana sammoha pranashtaste tananjaya. Have you listened with one-pointed attention? Krishna asked that question. The fourth state is vikshipta. And fourth is ekagrahata. And fifth is what is called as nirodha. Fifth is actually nirodha. Nirodha is the, from the Patanjali point of view, the fifth state is the ultimate state of consciousness. Nirodha is that particular state where the material movement of consciousness stops. But actually, after that, there are spiritual states of consciousness which is not talked about by Patanjali. According to his yoga practice, the ultimate goal is to come to the stage of Nirodha, where the material movement of consciousness stops. But after the material movement of consciousness stops, then a person focuses on Krishna. So that is why if you see in the 6th chapter of the Gita, when Krishna, I think translate this verse, 6.20, what is 6.20? How does it start verse? 6.20. Yatro paramate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya yatra chaivat manatmanam pashyan atmani tushyati. So it starts like yatro uparamate chittam, yatro paramate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya yatro paramate chittam. That means when the chitta stops, when the movement of chitta stops functioning, then a person comes to the stage of nirodha. But the way Prabhupada translates is that when the material mind stops, is it not? How does Prabhupada translate?
When the stage of perfection
contrasts
with samadhi, one's mind is completely
So basically, Prabhupada says, like, when the material mind stops, then a person comes to the stage of Nirodha. But after coming to the stage of Nirodha, then we have to focus on Krishna. So Patanjali talks only till Nirodha, where the material movement of the consciousness stops. But Krishna goes even further. Patanjali, in one sense, he talks only with Yatro Paramate Chittam. But Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, he goes till, what is it, 6.47? Yogi nam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha. The topmost yogi is one who is constantly connected to me. So therefore we see that. So Prabhupada is writing this purport to show that even in Patanjali Yoga Sutra there is indication of contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the bliss which a person experiences the Supreme Personality of God. Because he is telling this point because there are other people who misinterpret Patanjali's yoga. Patanjali is internally a personalist. You have to know that. So the others who actually misinterpreted Patanjali by saying that as if he is an impersonalist, his goal is actually to attain impersonal liberation. So then the last page of the purport, we'll read that in the end. Prabhupada says that perfection of yoga is not simply mystic siddhis but achieving the personal form of the Lord. He describes the 8 mystic siddhis. So even after coming to the samadhi, then a person starts acquiring the mystic siddhis. But even they are not the ultimate goal. Material enjoyment as encouraged by the bogus yogis has nothing to do with the transcendental realization of spiritual happiness. Real devotees of bhakti yoga accept only the material necessities of life absolutely needed to maintain the body and soul together. They refrain completely from all exaggerated material sense gratification, and they are prepared to undergo all kinds of tribulation provided they can make progress in the realization of the personality of Godhead. Okay? So tomorrow we will start from the Kardama Muni's prayers. So today we saw the further aspect of Brahma's creation, how he created the demons and the pishachas, ghosts, gandharvas, apsaras, kinnaras, kimpurushas, sadhyas, pitas, Vidyadharas, and then human beings, sages. He saw from his different under. From his reflection, who came? Kim Purusha. Huh? So they all came. And then Vidura, 21st chapter, he asked the question about, he wanted to know about the dynasty of Swayambhu Manu. The first 5 verses, he is asking this question. And then from the 6th verse, Swayambhu Manu, Maitreya Rishi starts giving an account. So about how Kardama Muni was. Although Vidura wanted to know the dynasty of Swayambhu Manu first, but Maitreya Rishi starts describing, starting from the daughter. That is actually, the women are given more importance than the men. So first the daughter, Devahuti, is described. That's why now it will lead to the Devahuti, Kardama Muni marriage and then Kapila Dev Samvad. Then in the next chapter, we will start with Akuti and Prasuti. The next canto, 4th canto, will start with Akuti and Prasuti, Daksha Yagya. Daksha Yagya and this one. And then Dhruva Maharaj will come to the sons, Swayambhu Manu, the Uttanupad and Prayavrata Maharaj. So like that. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय गौर भक्त वृंद की जय आई हर्ड इन आई थिंक
more of a cultural this one first. Vedic culture, because I think the ladies are, women are described first. I have to check somewhere, but that's what I have heard.